The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. Somehow, it turned into September, and it's 10 o'clock. So regardless of it being September, here we are live again on the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as usual, we're sitting here in the office thinking, or the other office,
yeah,
thinking about what to say today that we would like to talk about, which, believe me, there's plenty, and thinking all you folks would have to do if you want to hear something you would like to talk about is just pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK. Callers will, as always, go to the head of the line, and the discussion is yours. Wow. I'm going to start out with saying, what a week, what a day, week, month, quarter, and year this has been so far.
What a day? What
Friday.
Oh.
I thought it would all fall apart being the last day of the month.
And oh, okay.
It didn't fall apart.
No, not at all.
In
fact, it was pretty flat.
It looked like it tried, but it didn't work. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. We've got a trivia question. We've got some other stories. And I'd like to welcome back our regulars, as always. We're here because you are always there. And if you're new to the show, either by accident or if someone's told you about it or whatever, see if you can stick around for the hour. Maybe you'll learn a little something. Price is Right, certainly. You can't get anything better in terms of information and advice quickly than you can get by doing this or by looking us up on the internet and coming in to see us. We offer a one-hour consultation to anyone who will ask for it, and it's absolutely free, and we will not hound you afterwards. I don't think anybody ever walks away from a meeting like that without learning something. Hope not, anyway. If so, we have failed them, or else they knew more than we did. No, that won't happen. Anyway. Golly, I don't even know where to start. I would like to mention that we lost a great American this week, and I am seriously going to miss her music. But that's just me. I got the head shake from him. That's good. All right, this week in the market, things were generally up nicely, and it's interesting to me to overlay the news with the market results, because the news was so mixed, and yet it got interpreted by the market, I think, correctly, meaning well, as good news. I'll be curious to get Adam's opinion on the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it was a tough week to figure out. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way of putting it. It didn't end the way that we thought it might, with a deal being cut on Friday. And so in some ways, that was a disappointment, although the market didn't really react, so they still think it's going to happen. That's my opinion. Would you agree with that?
Very simply, Trudeau was raised poorly by some guy named Trudeau. He's a petulant brat.
And a socialist.
And a socialist who believes that his good looks will get him through everything in life, but he does have enough brain power to understand one thing. They can't afford a tariff on their automobiles that they ship across our border.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on there is him trying to look good by sticking his foot in his mouth over and over and over again. But thank goodness he sent a very rational woman to speak for him and for the entire country of Canada. And therefore, things are still on track. And therefore, I will say they will be settled, and they will be settled very quickly. somebody referred to the Mexican deal where they did get together this year. I thought this was just as clever as it could be. They called it HAFTA. Like that?
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that one.
I thought it was ironic that one of the sticking points was apparently they are unwilling to get rid of the tariff on agriculture coming into Canada. And yeah. So he's been out there chastising Trump for putting tariffs on, and one of the reasons that they can't get a deal done is that he doesn't want to let go of the tariffs that they already have.
Well, it's not even completely that story. There's more to that story. I was listening to Mark Stein this morning. He was telling the whole story. That whole thing that they do for their dairy and ag in general is pro-Quebec.
Okay.
So if you get a gallon of milk on the other side of Canada, it comes from over there, shipped all the way across the country, because the protectionism is meant to protect Quebec. So okay. He's got an internal problem and an external problem there, because those people in the east are not going to be able to ship everything to the west if they can get it out of Wisconsin, which is a heck of a lot closer.
Sure.
So our old friends in Wisconsin probably have a lot to gain from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it has to happen. If they want to do some internal politicking, no power on earth can change them, or would I even try. But if they want to keep going on this one that involves us, then they're going to get it stuck to them by a car tariff. And there's a lot of auto assembly that's meant for here that's done right across the border.
Sure. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But ultimately, I still think they get a deal done. And I think the market would agree.
Well,
that's why we didn't.
It would have been down 400 or 500 points yesterday. Yeah. They just walked away.
Agreed. So August, despite all the fear that normally comes with it, turned out to be a very friendly month for the market. We saw the Dow come in under the most pressure due to the potential trade wars, and it still gained 2.2%. The S&P tacked on 3%, and the NASDAQ, which continued the recent trend of outperforming, added 5.7% in the month. The NASDAQ is now up more than 17% this year, in a year that many people predicted would be flat. So it's really pretty good out there.
Be very careful listening to market forecast predictions.
Mm-hmm.
They are about as impossible as weather.
Yeah, I retweeted a really funny chart this week. It's on our webpage and on our Twitter account, but someone put together a chart showing the market, I think it was the S&P over the last 5 years, and put in every prediction of a crash on all the peaks and valleys.
I've got one in my headlines today.
Yeah, it was great. It was really a good chart. On a sector basis, technology is up the most this year at almost 20%. That flip-flopped with consumer discretionary, which was leading last week, and it didn't gain as much as tech this week, so it's now in second place, up more than 18%. Healthcare is the only other sector that's up more than the S&P 500 this year. It's up 11.7%, and three sectors are negative, including telecom, consumer staples, and materials. So kind of a mixed bag across the sectors this year.
I just don't get it on the materials either.
No,
although I have noticed the chart has an uptick at the end of it.
It's been a little bit better, but it's really surprising how slow that area has been. I don't understand it either. Outside the U.S., completely different story. International stocks got just absolutely pummeled in August, and they kind of continued the trend of this year. Brazil dropped more than 10% in August. China dropped more than 6%, and Italy over 9%. There was almost no international market that was spared in August. It was really ugly. So keep your money at home right now, I guess.
I think we might have to reclassify the Brazilian market index as a commodity, because they're the only things that volatile.
It has been really volatile. It's been down as much as, I think, almost 30%. Then it got half that back, and then it dropped 10%. It's just crazy.
It is truly remarkable just how volatile that's been. Keeps you on your toes, though. What's coming up next week? Jobs, jobs, jobs again. That's a biggie. And another thing I wanted to mention, too, that I don't think you hit on, one of the things that's really cooking right now is small caps.
Yep, that's
true. But
there's
one that's even more important than that.
What's that?
An all-time high was set for the Wilshire 5000 Index.
Oh, okay.
And what that means is the breadth of this market performance is huge now. It is not just FANG stocks like it was a couple of years ago that are making the difference. We're talking about a solidly up stock market with room to go. So don't go anywhere. We'll wrap this up after the break and go on to some other fun things. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255, and we will put you to the head of the line. I will have a trivia question that we will give out in a few minutes. Adam wants to wrap up a little bit more on the market this week, just because it's fun this week. Month, year, quarter, you know.
All of it.
Yep. So let's do that, and then we'll get into it.
All right. So if you are a commodities investor, you've actually had a decent year if you bought the index or specific commodities like oil. However,
oil's hanging in there, and Iran's saber rattling over in the Strait of Hormuz. So yeah, they're going to hang in there some more, I think.
It had a pretty big month and week, really. But if you own gold and silver, you're probably a little less happy. Gold dropped another 2%. Silver dropped 6% in the month.
Tell me about it.
Ouch. That's they just cannot get any traction. The strong dollar is not helping.
No, and the manipulation by the banks in China and so on aren't helping either. It will end one day.
Another thing I want to mention is that if you look around at almost any publication, you'll find a story right now about how September is the worst month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, that is true. In the last 20 years, it has only been positive 45% of the time, and the average loss is 1.07%. Now, that has nothing to do with this year. It is completely irrelevant. That's historic data, and it is pretty meaningless. But that is a fact that it is the worst month of the year.
That holds for 100 years, too.
Yep, it does.
Same number. In fact, why don't I throw in the trivia question, because it's related to that. This is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. As Adam said, the over history, which is anywhere from 100 years in, of the stock market, September has been the historically worst month, except over the last 20 years, there's actually one month that has done worse than September. All I want to know is what month is that, which means you only have 11 choices.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
All right. There was a huge amount of economic data this week, and most of it was pretty good. Even the data that missed expectations was still pretty good. Personal income was one that I noticed. It rose by 0.3%. The forecast was for 0.4%, but 0.3% is still a really strong number. I mean, yes. People have been complaining forever that during this recovery, wages have not been going up. Well, that's 2 months in a row, 0.3%, I believe, and it's up substantially. So we're actually seeing income growth now, which is great.
That's like playing darts and missing the bullseye because you're in the first ring around the bullseye.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah, pretty good. One area that continues to put up some disappointing numbers is the housing market. Both home prices and pending sales missed their forecast. That being said, home prices are still rising nationally by a very healthy 6% a year. We don't think it's much to worry about. A lot of the sector's problems are caused by lack of inventory, slow building by builders relative to demand, and rising home ownership rates, which means that the markets are very competitive. In a lot of markets, as soon as stuff comes on the market, it gets bought. You hear Angela and Howard talk about it very frequently, that the percentage of houses going under contract the first day and week that they're put on is quite high.
Mm-hmm.
So the signs are there that it's a healthy market, but the national numbers aren't looking great right now. So there's kind of a disconnect.
Nowhere are you likely to see an industry that's suffering more from the current labor shortage.
Building side, right.
You can't just have 10 people go out and build a house. You have to have very specific skills to get that house
built. Yeah, exactly. You need your skilled trades. And
a lot of them are doing remodeling, too, now, which is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Look at Home Depot stock if you want to know if remodeling's hot.
Yeah, it had a big month.
Yeah. So everything's pretty good.
Yeah, and then the GDP got revised upward as well.
So. Another 0.1%, which this program forecast about a month ago, that the 4.1% number would probably be revised upward.
And it was. Yeah, so all in all, the economic data looked pretty good.
Know how long it's been since we had a GDP quarter that good?
I don't.
A little bit longer than 12 years.
Okay.
2006, quarter one. Who was president then? Let's see. What happened for those 8 years in between? Not sure. I'll have to look that up. Speaking of success, there was another milestone hit this week. A $2,000 stock. Did you notice?
No.
Amazon.
I mean, I figured that's what you're talking about. I didn't notice it crossed that mark.
I found a little story here, and it took me back to my early days in this business. Jeff Bezos, back in 1999, wrote a shareholder letter, and it said, "I constantly remind our employees to be afraid, to wake up every morning terrified." Well, that kind of struck me out. I know what he means. You're supposed to be afraid that somebody else is going to take your job or you lose yours or something will happen. But I don't like that attitude very much. So I predicted right then that with an attitude like that, Jeff Bezos will never get anywhere in life. How'd I do?
Whoops.
$150 billion he's worth now, the richest man in the world, and Amazon's at $2,000 a share. I'll take it back.
Good idea.
Maybe being terrified isn't so bad.
I guess. I don't know. They say it works for entrepreneurs, too. I mean, outside of just him, small business owners always be worried that you're going to go under.
Yeah.
Stay hungry.
I guess.
You hear it all the time.
All right, I got another one. This one, many of you probably know about the Motley Fool. I've been following them since, I think, the 90s when they first came out. They're kind of the easygoing, funny type. They have an awful lot of good information on the site. They've made themselves very, very well-known, famous, and no doubt very wealthy. I did, however, listen to one of their forecasts or picks many, many, many years ago, and it tanked immediately. So I don't really put much faith in them. But I'm going to classify this one under the heading of irresponsible journalism. Now, I know a lot about journalism vicariously because I've been married for almost 46 years to a journalism major, and she has taught me many, many, many things. And one of the things that she has taught me is that the writer of the article is not always a headline writer. And the headline writer very often has an agenda of his or her own. So I'm attributing this to Motley Fool not knowing for sure if it's their way of pointing toward their story or if it's someone else's. So with that little disclaimer in mind, it says, this dire economic indicator suggests that you should sell now or suffer substantial losses. Now, what do you suppose they're thinking to tell their readers that they should sell now or suffer substantial losses? There is nothing out there that would justify a headline like that.
I have no idea what they're even talking about.
Well, then let's look down through the story and find out. This, like I said, I don't know if it's them or if it's the idiot who wrote the headlines, but this is just as completely selling fear, and it is irrational, and it is very, very irresponsible journalism. Knowing how many paragraphs do people read in any story they pick up? What's the average? Do you know?
No.
I think it's about 3.
Okay.
So if you want to hide something in plain sight, put it in paragraph 5, right?
Mm.
All right. So what this thing says, if you are a close follower of financial media, you probably come across multiple bearish articles that seek to warn investors about the inverted yield curve, a disturbingly accurate recession predictor that tracks the spread between the short-term 10-year and long-term 10-year treasuries. The inverted yield curve has predicted the last 7 recessions. And if you're a gambler, the occurrence of a recession by the conclusion of 2020 may seem a good bet to make. Are you looking forward to 2020 yet?
I think about it.
I looked forward to it a couple of years ago when I got my eyes fixed. Now I'm 2020.
I'm not even going to say anything about that.
Got them twice today so far. Today the yield curve is flattening. And an inversion is looking imminent.
Oh, I don't know about that.
All it's going to take is a few more rate hikes from Fed Chair Jerome Powell before both the yield curve and the markets turn upside down. So with that in mind, does it still make sense to be a buyer of stocks? All right, what did I just do? I just read 3 paragraphs, right? What's the conclusion? Get out, stay out, run for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could think. But we start in paragraph 4. Before you offload all your stocks and head for the exits, you should know that the yield curve inversion is not a foolproof recession predictor. And you should also know that it's flattening, but it's not flat and it's not inverted.
No, it hasn't.
So therefore, it doesn't apply at all. And it doesn't tell you really anything except the first 3 paragraphs. Get out of this market now, you got a chance. Historically, a recession kicks in about 1 year after the inversion happens. So why don't we just wait and see if it inverts and then say, you've got a year to react, historically speaking.
The yield curve is actually a pretty good predictor of a recession. That if it inverts, it is.
And there's a very good reason for that. So we can get into the economics of it later. But They did this. It was so blatant on the big headline. They did this, and I couldn't let it go past without calling it irresponsible. We complain on this show over and over about people selling fear and greed.
Yeah.
Fear and greed. It's always fear and greed. But what they're really selling, just like the Motley Fool is selling, is newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make their money. And that's the only way they can get around the compliance issues that Adam and I have to face every day, because they're not a highly regulated business like ours. If we did that, we'd be out of here. Trust me. So don't listen to it. All right, we'll be right back after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRI News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. At Washington National Cathedral at this hour, the ceremony is underway, the final public send-off for Senator John McCain, who died a week ago from brain cancer. Former U.S. Presidents Barack Obama and George W. Bush among those to speak at this morning's service. At the moment, Meghan McCain, the late senator's daughter, is at the podium. President Trump was on a campaign stop last night in Charlotte, North Carolina, on behalf of a Republican candidate, where he told the crowd there are many reasons to vote against Democrats in November. He also paid a visit to Central Piedmont Community College, where he took executive action to help small businesses offer retirement plans for their workers. Three children, including two infants, among the dozens of passengers seriously injured when the commercial bus they were riding in was hit head-on by a semi-truck in New Mexico yesterday, killing eight people. And police say it was all caused by a blown tire on the semi-truck.
My name is Amanda, and I am in the Life Builders Recovery Program at City Rescue Mission. I've allowed alcohol to take my career, my family, and my faith from me. I was also sexually abused and became depressed, even suicidal. It was those suicidal thoughts that became my wake-up call. I was referred to CRM by another facility that told me I needed a longer-term recovery program. A God-centered program and the counselors at CRM have given me the freedom and the willingness to open up. I no longer see myself as an alcoholic. I see myself as a child of God. I know that I am worthy of love and that I can do all things through Christ. After graduating from CRM, I want to work in the nonprofit field and be of service to others.
I'm Penny Kivett, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, September 5th, from 5 to 9 p.m., it's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Wednesday, September 5th, from 6 to 9 p.m., it's Music by the Sea at the St. Johns County Pier Pavilion at St. Augustine Beach. And Saturday, September 8th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Man, the roads are looking good. No slowdowns to report. As for the weather, looking for a little more rain today, about a 20% chance of that. Through the evening hours, partly sunny, otherwise in the high near 90. Mostly cloudy tonight, down to about 70. So pretty much the same for tomorrow, but with a 40% chance of rain, 60% chance for your Labor Day. It's 84 at AM 600 WBOB.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I'll remind everybody again that the trivia question is open. September over the last 100 years is notoriously the worst month for the market, whereas in the past 20 years, it's only second worst. Which month is worse over the last 20 years even than September? Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chuck.
What's up?
Hey. I want to give Steve, you and Adam, a lot of credit. A month ago, you all said you're not selling anything. And I thought, August, you were right, and I was wrong. I thought we'd have consolidation in August, the low volume, not much happening. We've had this melt-up, and you said adamantly on the air a month ago, you're not selling anything, and you were right.
Well, we won't rub it in.
Nah, just dumb luck, really.
Wait a minute, I didn't finish that sentence. We won't rub it in very much. How's that?
Did you end up selling out, Chuck? Or I know you're pretty active anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty active. And I was in and out of cash way too much. And so anyway, you guys did a lot better than I did, I'm sure. But any event, we'll see what happens in September with this melt-up we've had. But it's astonishing. I mean, it's just every week in August, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was a fun month to be in our business. I'm not going to lie.
No, it was great. There's a little something I want you to think about. What has very stealthily happened this year is that earnings have increased by so much that the P.E. ratio of the entire market has dropped about 2.5 just from the improvement in the E part of that, the earnings, which is de-risking the market from an upside standpoint.
It's still high.
Still high, but...
But, yeah.
But if you're projecting forward or backward earnings, if you keep projecting forward at the same rate of earnings growth that we have now, that's going to take another 2.5 out of it. It's going to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because, man, some of those international markets are looking really attractive.
If you're not looking at China right now,
China,
then when are you going to look?
Some of Europe, too.
Yeah, I agree. I think international is going to have a much better fall than they've had rest of the summer, which I hope for their sake, because they've really been doing poorly. So what are you thinking? What are you into and out of these days?
Well, I was astonished about Amazon. I'm in and out of the FANG stocks, but I was out too long. So
you got a long ways to run.
Yeah.
Financials are hot for the last 4 months of the year. Normally, you know, if you're just going on the past, which is somewhat risky, but it's better than nothing. Financials are usually the top performer for the last 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, the bank stocks have been good. I want to give you all credit for another thing unrelated, and that is to take calls. You know, there's some talk show hosts out there that are doing financial shows, and they don't take calls, and they bash Trump, and they talk about the China threat, and, you know, they make fun of your trivia question and other things. And, you know, I give you credit for taking calls. Some of these other hosts out there don't take calls, and you all do, and I give you a lot of credit for doing that.
Well, thank you. I think that's 3/4 of the fun is taking calls.
It's always better shows when we get a lot of calls, so yeah. I think it's the only way to do it.
How much more fun can you have than wondering what the next person is going to ask you? If you don't like thinking on your feet, pre-record the show.
Yeah. The other thing is we're not afraid to say when we don't know something. So
no.
It doesn't bother me at all if I can always go and look it up. I mean, and some people just don't like to do that on air.
Anybody who will ask a question that we can't answer means there's a lot of people out there who don't know the answer, and we'll get it to them. And when we're asked a question we do know, there's also a lot of people out there who didn't know, but now they know. So the way I look at it, it's pretty hard to go wrong.
Agreed.
I love this format. I wouldn't do it any other way.
But, Chuck, we always enjoy your calls. Thanks for calling in, and we appreciate the kudos.
Quick thing, though. Do you want to take a guess at the trivia?
I'll say February.
Now we're down to 10 choices.
Good try.
All right. We appreciate it. Every time you call in, we appreciate it. Thank you. You know, it was part of the discussion as Chuck was talking about, when we said we're not selling anything, because one of our guiding principles is we have to look at each other and ask each other, why would you do that? And if you can't answer it, or if your answer is something like, well, selling may and go away, that's not a reason.
No.
What we're looking at now is the best economy we have seen in Adam's adulthood, anyway.
No, that's not necessarily
pretty darn
true.
Close.
I mean,
the one that wasn't artificial. Six was when we had the big GDP growth, but then look what happened. We got ourselves into a mess.
Yeah, but the 2002 to 2006 was also really
good. Yeah, it was good recovery.
Yeah.
Well, that happens when you're coming off a deep dark hole, and we were in one in 01
yeah,
and 02.
Exactly.
So, but as far as just a solid economy, in fact, one of the headlines I had today was, This isn't exactly 1999. They were talking about technology,
mm-hmm.
to which I replied, no kidding.
Yeah, it's not.
In 1999, all the dot-coms were coming to life because the internet had just happened and Schwab had just brought trading into people's homes. And every dot-com out there had any name at all. And the venture capitalists were giving them all kinds of money. And you know that something's wrong when these companies were not making a penny and they came up with the term burn rate. Remember that?
Yeah. It was even worse than that. It wasn't that they weren't making a penny in profits. They had no revenue.
Right.
They were pre-revenue, that was the term that they were using, which meant we're just spending a lot of money getting ready to sell something in the future.
And a bunch of very scholarly professors in economics and so on were writing articles about, well, profits aren't what drive the market anymore. It's how many web hits you get.
Oh, yeah. I was in business school. I was getting my MBA at this time, and my professors were talking about this. So some of them were on CNN talking about this because I was in Atlanta, and CNN was right there. They would come to the campus regularly and interview some of them.
Looking back, it's
insane.
Anyway, the definition of the burn rate was how much cash the company is bleeding every day. So you take a pile of cash that you got from the investors, and you divide it by the burn rate, and I'll tell you what day you're going out of business.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with having a burn rate. That itself is not bad.
There's no revenue.
It's not meant as a technique to measure anything but how soon you're going to go out of business if you don't start increasing your revenue.
Right, and I've told the story many times that most companies that fail are profitable at the time they fail. What they run out of is money. You have to have a constant source of money. Growing a business internally is a very difficult thing. Your cash flow is really, really tight. So unless you have alternate sources, extra sources, that's why inventors go out and get venture capitalists and that sort of thing, running out of money is the first thing that's going to put you out of business.
Yep, it's called working capital is the technical term, I guess.
But in the 90s, profitability was not underscored as a means of keeping a company alive. And let's face it, when you run out of ways to replace your capital will dry up and you'll be gone. Well, look now. The NASDAQ back then peaked out at something like 5240, some number like that. I don't remember exactly. But the NASDAQ's over 8,000 now.
Over 8,100.
8,100, right. And what's that based on?
It's on profits.
Profits.
I mean, the NASDAQ is had that run because the companies in the NASDAQ have been some of the most successful companies in America.
I predicted so far ago, it was on a previous radio gig, that the NASDAQ would someday cross its old number again.
Yeah.
And probably go even a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've predicted 8,000. That's an astounding number. But it is just a number.
It's up off of its March 9th, 2009 low. It is up 539%.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
That when the annuity people say forward, never back, up, but never down. They're talking about on a really good year, maybe you get 4 or 5%. On a really bad year, you get zero. Meanwhile, the world marches on at a clip of 539% gains, and it's not even a decade later than that.
No, it isn't.
That's 9 years, people. So you be careful. If you need help understanding any of those things, that's why we're around. Okay, after the break, I'll have Adam go over how to contact us and how to spell the name, because we loved that question so much last week. And he's going to tell you about people who don't even have a bank account It hardly seems possible.
Can you imagine?
Yet it's common. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939. For your free CD, call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question from Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm is still open. There is only one month over the last 20 years that has been worse in the market than September, and it's not February. So you got 10 choices left if you want to give us a call. Lines are open, 222-8255. Seriously, people? No bank account?
Yeah, no. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Life in the modern world, not having a bank account.
Well, I know that there's a trend in society to go toward the cash-free society, no. Which, by the way, I object to.
That is definitely not this. This is different.
This is, I gathered it was.
Yeah, but think about all the things you do with your bank now. Even if you don't actually go to the bank, you use your phone or your PC and you pay your bills. You track how much money you have. You save. You invest. You do. I mean, I'm on it all the time.
Me too.
I just can't even imagine. But there is.
Are you counting credit unions and all that?
Yeah. Among banks? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. You might be surprised, but there's as much as 7% of American households that do not have a bank account. 7%. That's not insignificant.
Is that because they need a valid Social Security number to get one?
I'm sure there's some of that, but actually there's more to it than that. A lot of them are low income, and most have been denied an account due to their banking history. So they've already had problems in the past, and then banks just, I guess, blacklist them or won't deal with them. They tend to have a general distrust in banking institutions and believe the fees are too high and unpredictable. Additionally, many banks have required minimum balance that they either can't or don't want to maintain. So that's part of the problem. The another part of the problem is that we are going away from physical banking locations. And so when the banks make their decisions about where to locate, low-income neighborhoods are generally not where they go. So then there's no access. Gotcha. So it's another problem. And
I noticed many years ago, as all the banks were springing up on every corner, that this is unsustainable.
Yeah, there were too many, especially with the way things are gone online.
So. And then you get the consolidation, so there could be two of them in a block, whatever. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. We Financial live on World Tour. I got a guess at the trivia, please, sir.
Okay.
October?
You know, that's the first answer I expected, only it's not right.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I make a side comment?
Of course.
The advantage of not having a bank account is you don't have to worry about a bank holiday. You gentlemen have a good day.
I love it. Thank you. That was very clever.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind not having to deal with a bank. They're not always the most
fun. Well, you know, in my top 10 rules are never need a bank.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot different than never have a bank. You just don't want to depend on one because they're notorious for not lending you money unless you can prove you don't need it. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi there. I want to guess the trivia question.
Go ahead.
I'm going to guess the election month, November.
Good guess, but no.
It was a good guess, but no. This was a much harder question than I thought it was going to be.
I'll tell you, I got it wrong, too. I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well,
boy, oh, boy.
Well, keep going. Try us next week, but we sure appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, this one?
Yeah,
this
is a
surprisingly
tough one. It is.
You know, the reason I used it is because when I read it, I've kind of shook my head, too, and said, man, I didn't know that. My favorite trivia questions are always the ones where I didn't know the answer till I found it somewhere. And by the way, I have heard those other pre-recorded shows who make fun of our silly trivia questions. And you know, they're talking about us.
I don't care.
But I'm in the Mae West camp. There's no bad publicity. Just talk about us. Talk about us more and more. Make fun of us if you want to. See if I care. Just talk about us.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I'd appreciate it if you'd just come out and use the name.
Okay, fair.
How do you spell that?
There you go. You spell it. Yeah, we did promise we would give that out, too.
Yeah.
It's VanWee, VanWie, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. And if you want to find our website, it's VanWeeFinancial.com. Lots of good stuff on there. We do a blog. We post our podcast weekly on Monday. This week it'll be Tuesday because of the holiday. And, you can book a meeting right from that website.
Yeah, and price is right.
Yep. Anyways, I wanted to get back to this.
Yeah.
So what happens is the banking institutions don't locate in low-income neighborhoods anymore, so that hole is then filled by check cashing places, and those stores cost a tremendous amount to the consumer. They may not even realize how much they're paying to get their paychecks cashed. The average annual fees for a checking account at a bank are about $200.
Ooh.
Most people don't even pay that much, but that is the average, and then the average to cash a year's worth of checks at a check cashing place comes to about $500, 2% fee on each check for 25,000 net income. It's really costly to do your banking that way. One solution that's been kind of making its way around the headlines is for the Federal Reserve to offer private accounts directly to consumers, cutting out the privatized middleman banks. The pros with this idea include you could potentially get a higher interest rate on your savings because the Fed doesn't – if you cut out the middleman, the bank isn't going to make their spread on the difference. You would have quicker deposits and transfers because the Fed actually is the middleman on that. And you would have a guaranteed approval to open an account for people that could not get it at a regular institution. I'm not a huge fan of the idea, but – I mean, there, it does seem like something needs to be done to offer these people a way to have checking, because I can't imagine going through life and paying extra fees to not have that account.
I would have trouble getting over my feelings about the Fed enough to do it.
Yeah, and I think the Fed comes to mind because they're the bank for banks. So if you can't,
but if you want to go to a physical location to deposit or cash a check or something, the Fed is the worst thing in the world.
Right, and that's true, but there's no reason that if they set up the system, they couldn't put ATMs out or have a relationship with one of their member banks where it was located in the bank. I mean, there's lots of solutions that could work. I don't know if this is the ideal one, but it does seem like something needs to be done for these 7% of American households. That's a big number.
It is. I'm going to go back to my favorite. I have a credit union account with free checking on it.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
And there's just no reason in the world that people shouldn't look into having credit unions. You do not have to be in the Navy or anything like that to join a good credit union anymore. Around here, ViStar is pretty much ubiquitous, and there are many, many other good ones out there. And they're just so different than dealing with banks that if you need or want something like that, I can't think of a reason in the world not to do that.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. Much better to me than the Fed. Mm-hmm. I like private industry anyway. I want to wrap up a little bit more on that Motley Fool, the market is going to crash thing, with a quick mention that they did actually give a stock pick after that, which, bottom line, folks, that's what they're selling. They're always selling something. Fear, greed, and stock picks and newsletters. Speaking of bad ideas, and we sort of have been in some cases today, a brokerage firm that is owned by the Bank of America, following the financial crisis, has decided that they're going to go back into the commission business and retirement accounts. They were pretty much forced to leave it because the implementation of the fiduciary rule, which simply means that you have to treat your clients' interests ahead of your own, which, by the way, works anyway, they were being forced to do that when, and I'm going to point fingers right where I have to, the Trump administration has kiboshed that. The conservatives are on the wrong side of this issue. They have been since it came up. It was actually Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren that came up with this. And when they did, I said right on air that I was a big fan of that idea. I give them credit wherever it's due. But this is ridiculous to take a step backwards. But what's more ridiculous than taking a step backwards is the reason that they gave for it. They were responding to their customers' wishes.
Right. Unbelievable.
You said it better than I could with a single word. The month that has, over the past 20 years, underperformed even September is actually January, and my point here is very simple. We tend to forget what happened in 15 and 16 when the markets came back from the holidays.
I did not forget it.
No, it's very difficult if you're in the business to forget it. This average has in it a couple of years that were so bad it skewed the average.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's nothing to worry about. When August has been profitable, usually September's profitable. There's nothing in here that says try to time the market, folks. You only do that when business conditions change, and then you can think about it. We'll see you here next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.